Tales from a Jurassic World, Season 1, Episode 6, An Allosaurus Walks into a Bar.
Hold on!
I'm trying!
The US Fish and Wildlife Service vehicle tore its way down a woodland track, following a couple of blacked-out SUVs also racing down the same path. In front of the convoy of vehicles, a large theropod could be seen sprinting, its head swaying back and forth with something metallic sticking out from its eye and glinting in the occasional beams of moonlight which pierced the canopies above them. The agents have been deployed alongside some of their federal counterparts to deal with the wake of an incident at Big Rock National Park, which had seen campers settling down in the area caught in the midst of a showdown between the Allosaurus and another animal. Details were still coming in on what had happened at the park as first responders continued to arrive on the scene, but it had become clear very quickly that a large theropod was on the loose and needed containing.
Morrison, Brown, make sure you're keeping back. My guys have got this.
Morrison gritted his teeth at the voice over the radio in their cab. They were once again locked into a deadly situation with FBI agent Ramirez, and were conscious that the FBI's way of handling things may not be for the best. As the pickup truck raced after the two SUVs, Morrison could make out that the Allosaurus was becoming more distressed as the two vehicles attempted to catch up with the animal, flanking it on either side. The Allosaurus continued to roar and growl as the vehicles got closer to it.
They have no clue what they're doing. They're gonna aggravate it more.
I know. We just have to keep up with it and be ready to tranquilize it when we get the chance. Have you got the rifle ready?
Brown had the tranquilizer rifle sat in her lap, already loaded and ready to go. She had a couple of additional darts sat in a bandolier which was slung over her shoulder, allowing her to quickly reload. It was clear that the younger lady had learned a lot since they first uncovered the scale of this problem a few short months ago. Morrison smiled at her and then looked ahead, his expression changing in a flash. Ahead of them, one of the SUVs was getting closer to the Allosaurus, beginning to push it towards the other vehicle as the FBI agents attempted to entangle the dinosaur between them, trying to bring it to a halt. Morrison looked on in horror as the Allosaurus snapped its jaws at the encroaching vehicle.
We've almost got her. If we keep pushing, we can knock her off the road and trap her.
A voice came over the radio as the vehicle pushed against the animal's leg. One moment the SUV was pushing up against the leg of the Allosaurus, beginning to slow the dinosaur down. In the next moment, the SUV was suddenly thrown off of the dirt track, taking a stomach-churning tumble down the embankment and into the trees at the side of the road as the Allosaurus shifted its body weight into the side of the vehicle, sending it flying into the tree line. There was an ear-screeching crash as the SUV slammed into trees at the side of the road and wreckage slumped onto the ground, smoke beginning to spiral from the engine block of the crumpled wreck. The Allosaurus let out a triumphant roar and began to pick up its speed again, the remaining SUV slowing down behind it to follow the pace of the dinosaur.
Agent Anderson, are you okay?
There was a static noise on the radio set, which was accompanied by an eerie silence.
Sam? Corey? Can you hear me?
More static.
Jesus Christ. We gotta get this thing contained, now!
The radio in the vehicle buzzed back to life as the agents in the SUV in front attempted to compose themselves and connect with control.
Base, this is Ramirez. We have two agents down. Requesting EMS. I'm continuing in pursuit of the Allosaurus. GPS shows we are approaching the Big Rock Boy Scout campsite. Requesting helicopter support. Over.
Agent Ramirez, this is Agent Marshall with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I dispatched a helicopter team and additional units to you to help with containing the animal. Recommend you hold back and track from afar.
Screw that. Two of my agents are dead because of that thing. I'm going after it. Ramirez out.
In front of their pickup truck, Morrison and Brown could see that the window was rolling down on the other SUV, and Agent Ramirez was leaning out of it, a rifle in his hands. He raised the rifle as the dinosaur moved back and forth in front of him and attempted to fire a couple of rounds off at the animal, missing as the animal and the SUV swayed back and forth. He attempted to steady himself as he began to raise the rifle for another shot.
What the hell is he doing?
He's doing the only thing he knows. Got your seatbelt on?
Yeah, I do. Why?
Hold on!
Morrison slammed his foot on the accelerator, smashing the bumper of the pickup truck into the back of the SUV. The vehicle swayed and Ramirez almost tumbled out of the vehicle, dropping his rifle and sending it onto the dirt path below as the vehicles continued to speed up after the Allosaurus. He turned back towards the pickup, staring at Morrison through the windscreen with intense eyes, before he pulled himself back into the SUV and closed the window behind him.
What the hell are you doing? Answer me, Morrison!
The vehicles continued to follow the Allosaurus up the dirt pathway for a few moments, eventually coming to the entrance of the camp which Ramirez had mentioned over the radio. It was clearly not in use at the moment, with rows of wooden cabins sitting unused and vacant around a big turning circle present in the middle of the camp. The Allosaurus continued past the buildings and into the woodlands beyond, somewhere the vehicles would not be able to follow. The SUV skidded to a halt and the passenger door launched open immediately, Ramirez sprinting after the animal on foot with his pistol drawn. He stopped abruptly at the tree line, turning back as another agent climbed out from the driver's side of the vehicle. He began to march back towards the pickup truck as Morrison and Brown got out, Morrison locking eye contact with him.
I know it hurt your men, Ramirez. I'm sorry, but...
Morrison was cut off as Ramirez punched him in the jaw, sending him collapsing in a pile on the dirt floor as he recoiled from the impact.
What the hell, Ramirez?
Ramirez picked Morrison up by the collar of his field jacket and punched him again, letting him cough and splutter as he settled in the dirt below, blood trickling from his nose.
Don't ever pull that shit with me again. I've already saved you once. Don't think I'll do it again. That monster needs to be put down.
Maybe the dinosaur isn't the monster.
Morrison spat, attempting to get up from the floor as he clutched onto the side of the pickup truck.
What did you say?
He began to walk towards Morrison, but the other FBI agent ran in front of him, a young man with blonde hair. He held his arms up in front of Ramirez and locked eye contact with him.
He's not worth it, Marcus.
Get out of the way!
Ramirez retorted, throwing the man to the side as he squared up against Morrison.
What are you gonna do?
Before he could answer that question, there was an ear-splitting roar as the Allosaurus emerged from the tree line, scooping the other FBI agent up in a single motion and swallowing him whole as the man screamed. The dinosaur's tail smashed the windscreen of the pickup truck and sent Morrison, Brown and Ramirez scrambling as it powered past them and began to turn around on itself, letting out another roar as it looked back in their direction and began to thunder towards them.
Inside! Now!
As the trio sprinted towards the buildings, they split up. Brown went into one building and Morrison and Ramirez found themselves in another. As the duo tumbled through the door and into the building, the Allosaurus lunged after them, narrowly missing them as they rolled onto the floor inside. Around them were a few metal bunk bed frames which were clearly left here for when scout groups came up, and a small fireplace on the wall at the far end of the structure. The rest of the interior was pretty bland and empty. As Morrison crawled underneath one of the bed frames for additional shelter, he called out as loud as he could.
Lousy, are you okay?
He waited a few moments and there was no reply. Then a distant voice called back.
I'm fine. I don't know where it's gone.
Morrison rolled over and stared across at Ramirez, who was lying under a bed frame opposite him. The man's usual steely demeanor had been replaced by a more fearful one, and he was shaking and muttering to himself.
Ramirez!
The man turned to look at him, nodding.
Stay quiet. We need to wait this thing out. Help is on the way.
The man nodded and the duo stayed still in the dark room, the only illumination coming from the full moon which now hung in the sky. Outside, they could hear the occasional growl from the animal, but they began to sound more distant. They were intersected by the hoots of owls and also by the snapping of twigs. They laid in the darkness for a few more moments, listening to nothing but the sounds around them, when suddenly Ramirez began to crawl out from underneath the bedframe, his pistol in his hand. Morrison looked at him, eyes wide.
What are you doing?
It's gone. Listen. And if it's not, I'll make sure it's gone for good.
He clutched the handgun tightly and Morrison grimaced.
Don't be an idiot. You're not thinking straight.
Ramirez ignored him and crossed the room to the door. Morrison heard the door open and shut and could hear Ramirez's footsteps as he ventured out into the clearing beyond the building.
See? I was right. It's gone.
There was an intense rustling sound behind the building and a couple of dull impacts, and Morrison clutched his shoulders in a fetal position as he lay under the frame. He knew what was coming next.
Oh my god. Oh my god!
Morrison heard a couple of gunshots and a low, intense roar. He could hear something clatter on the ground and footsteps running, getting closer to the building. Then, suddenly, he heard Ramirez scream. There was another loud roar and the man screamed more, and then the forest around them fell into silence again. Morrison took a moment to catch his breath, and then the radio he was carrying with him buzzed into life. He frantically turned down the volume and whispered into it.
Lucy, is that you?
Yeah, you okay?
As good as I can be. You?
I'm okay. Managed to grab the tranquilizer rifle when we left the pickup truck. Any sign of backup arriving?
Nothing yet. I'm worried if we don't do something, then this thing is gonna get away. It could hurt more people. You saw what it did to that SUV. Hell, we heard what it did to Ramirez.
Yeah, we need to stop it before it gets away.
Give me a few to think of a plan. This is gonna be dangerous. You sure you're up for this?
I've gotta be, Ben. It's a different world now.
Yeah, you could say that again. Give me 5, I'll see if I can peek outside. We'll come up with a plan.
Morrison climbed up and peeked through one of the windows on the side of the cabin. He could see that beyond the cabins and closer to the tree line, there was a small wooden outhouse which was presumably some kind of toilet for the camp. The path between him and the toilet looked pretty clear. As he looked across the rest of the space between there and the cabin, he could make out a movement in the cabin across from him and spotted Lucy, signalling to her with a brief wave. He then looked at the stairs in front of the cabin where he could see a pool of blood next to a handgun which was lying on the floor, a couple of bullets on the ground next to it. As he looked past them and up deeper into the campsite, he was sure he could see a shadow moving between the next row of buildings, going back and forth between the buildings and the trees. He crept back down from the window, grabbing the radio.
Clearly whatever happened at the campsite has this thing riled up. It's not moving on. It's up between the buildings just past where we were, I think. I've got a plan, but you're not gonna like it. Ramirez's gun is out in front of the building. I'm going to fire it to get its attention and then sprint down to the toilet block with it following. As we go past, you trank this thing.
That's a death run.
We don't have a choice, Lucy. Are you ready?
Yes.
Morrison opened the door and it creaked as he crept out onto the landing beyond it. He crouched down and scooped up the handgun in his hand before he stepped down onto the grass beyond and turned to face the direction where he believed the Allosaurus was lurking.
Come on, you son of a bitch.
He muttered under his breath, gritting his teeth as his finger tightened on the trigger. He raised the handgun into the air and squeezed down tighter, firing a single round into the air as the campsite around him was temporarily illuminated by the muzzle flash. As he looked in front of him, he could see shadows moving, and slowly he could see the full form of the Allosaurus emerging from the darkness and lunging towards him with great speed. He twisted around and began to sprint towards the toilet shack, the dinosaur behind him now letting out a grotesque roar as it attempted to catch up with him. His heart throbbed in his chest, and he could feel his breathing increasing rapidly as he moved as fast as he could towards the building. He could feel the hot breath of the Allosaurus against his back and his neck, and he knew it was gaining on him as he attempted to desperately make the last few steps towards the building. Miraculously, he was able to push clean through the door and into the depths below, falling into a heap in a toilet cubicle as he twisted onto his back, looking through the doorway behind him. There was a temporary moment of reprieve as he caught his breath. Had the animal lost interest in him? Where had it gone? Those thoughts were pushed quickly out of his head as the Allosaurus came crashing through the roof of the shack with a roar, sending wooden splinters and other debris piling on top of him as he pushed his body into the floor as close as he could. He could smell the rancid breath coming from the animal's throat and could feel drool dripping onto him as it attempted to latch onto him with its large jaws. Mercifully, he was at an angle where he was just out of reach of the animal's grasp, but that wasn't stopping it from aggressively snapping its jaws at him as he lay there. He attempted to adjust his position as the animal let out another guttural roar. He clutched his shoulders tightly, praying for the moment to pass, when suddenly the animal's ferocity began to diminish. It rose out of the debris for a moment, stumbling slightly, and then turned, walking in an almost drunken manner back the way it had come before, and then it collapsed in a heap against one of the other wooden cabins, causing bits of the cabin to cave in around it as it slumped and its breathing shallowed. Stunned into silence for a moment, Morrison picked himself out of the debris and pulled himself out of the rubble, allowing him to get a better view of what had happened. Stood on the landing of her cabin, illuminated by the moonlight, Brown stood, clutching the tranquilizer rifle tightly across her chest. She threw it aside at a moment's notice and ran down, embracing Morrison in a tight hug as she wrapped her arms around him.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Thanks to you. Good shot, kid.
As the scene began to settle a little, the two took a moment to look at the huge carnival which had been pursuing them. They could hear the sound of helicopters coming closer and could also hear sirens approaching in the distance. The radio on Morrison's belt was alive with lots of activity as agents from various departments began to sweep into the area and help with containing the animal. As the duo began to walk back to the entrance of the camp, it was clear that they had been very lucky on this occasion, and that the US Fish and Wildlife Service was severely under-equipped to deal with situations like this. Lessons would have to be learned, and new departments would need to be formed to help contain and understand this threat. The government would need to adapt, as would the people who worked on the ground. There was no longer room for bureaucratic red tape and for years of convoluted hearings and investigations. Change was needed. Now. It had to happen. It was going to be the only way humans could survive in a Jurassic world. You have been listening to Tales from a Jurassic World. Ben Morrison voiced by Jared Ransom. Lucy Brown voiced by Ashley Friel. Fran Marshall voiced by Dot Paws. Marcus Ramirez voiced by Marcus Benassi. Agent Anderson voiced by Michelle Reed. FBI agent voiced by John Jastia. Special guest appearance by Antonio Bustos. Score composed and created by Brooks Leiby. Sound effects from Epidemic Sound. Written, created, and produced by Tom Jurassic. We hope you have enjoyed Season 1 of Tales from a Jurassic World. Stay tuned for more soon. At Big Rock National Park, police officers were busy guiding people through the park and down to waiting EMS vehicles to check them for injuries and see if they could assist them. Various government vehicles were parked up on the scene, with men in suits and FBI agents in field jackets assessing the damage which had occurred at the park. Crime scene investigators could be seen taking photographs of a ruined RV, and a detective in a long coat could be seen interviewing a pair of adults and their two children, whilst another police officer appeared to be looking after their younger child. Howard King's camera clicked as he took another photo of the scene from inside of the Jeep Wrangler he had parked up behind a police car. He looked at the camera screen and then reached through the two front seats, setting the camera down on the seats behind him. He then reached into the pocket on his cargo vest and pulled out a cell phone, dialing a number before he brought it up to his ear.
Dotson, it's King. Managed to get a look at some of the footage bystanders got at the scene. They are engine animals, that much is certain. We've got a good opportunity.
He waited for a moment as the person on the other end of the phone spoke.
Copy that. I'll start getting things in place. I'll be back in Italy in a week. Speak soon.